I'm very happy now to welcome Jody Rogers and Carrie Sullivan. They are with Esperanza Shelter for Battered Families. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. Great being here.
Thanks for having us.
So this coming weekend is an event called BASTA, Walk a Mile in My Shoes. It's all about National Crime Victims' Rights Week. Tell us about crime victims' rights. What are their rights? What do you mean by that?
Well, there are several rights that are allowed by law for crime victims, and they weren't always there. So part of the purpose of National Crime Victims' Rights Week is to bring public awareness to the fact that not only do crime victims have rights, but that this is not something to take for granted. And those rights include, for instance, being informed when a convicted offender who has harmed them is incarcerated or is moved either by escape or release. They include actual financial reparations, sometimes up to $50,000 for a permanent physical disability. They include access to crisis intervention such as hotlines that Esperanza and other agencies have all around the country, emergency shelter, legal advocacy, the list goes on and on. And all of these things weren't necessarily possible before the passage of the Victims of Crime Act in 1984.
So that was in 1984, and is that a national thing? It covers everybody in the country?
Yes, it's federal. And it's a pretty cool law, the Victims of Crime Act, because when it comes to crime victims' reparations, they made sure that all the funding, which has been upwards of $9 billion since 1984, that all the funding has come not from taxpayer dollars, but from criminal penalties and fines paid by offenders to the 93 U.S. attorney districts throughout the country.
Very interesting. So when somebody commits a crime, they have to pay, they have to go to jail and pay a fine.
That's right.
Right, and it's done on a federal level, so it's federal offenders of crime that pay the fines that go into this pool of money that is then spread around the country through agencies and crime victims reparation commissions, you know, state level. And so the nice thing is, in some respect, although the federal government is having funding issues, crime is continuing to happen. So the funding for crime victims reparations is not going down. In some respect, it would be nice if it did, because then that would mean, you know, we'd be having less crime. But nevertheless, it's nice that it's not made up of tax dollars, so it's not based on federal spending. It's based on crime.
So what kind of crimes are we seeing in Santa Fe, and particularly what you see at Esperanza?
Well, at Esperanza, we've definitely seen a huge increase in requests for our services, both residential and non-residential, as well as hotline calls. And the thing to really remember about this that we always try to emphasize in recent history is that although the recession has magnified the issues around domestic violence, such as the unemployment rate, meaning that offenders may be home more with their families, such as the fact that families, victims, and their children may not have the money to go elsewhere besides the shelter, it may magnify existing problems, but it doesn't cause it.
Right.
Nonetheless, we have seen an increase for our services.
Since the beginning of the recession.
Since the beginning of the recession. We are full at times of year when we're typically not full. Sometimes the winter before last, we were booked solid for months, I believe. Mm-hmm. The thing that's also interesting, I find, is that for our Crime Victims Reparation Commission here in New Mexico, going back to what Carrie was saying earlier, last fiscal year alone, $2 million was paid in victim reparations.
And so, for example, for somebody who is the victim of domestic violence, what kind of reparations do they get?
Well, I'm just looking on their materials in general. It says that it can be up to $20,000 per person, and that can go for medical and dental care, funeral and burial expenses, mental health counseling, loss of earnings. And then, as I said earlier, with a permanent physical disability, it can be up to $50,000. And we can certainly see any of these consequences coming from domestic violence, and we do see that with people in shelter.
The list you gave really points to what some of the special needs are of crime victims. I mean, if they've been hit, they literally need medical and dental care. If they've lost somebody in their family or somebody in their family has become disabled, they can't make ends meet in terms of bill paying.
Exactly. I think Carrie has a couple of interesting anecdotes we were just speaking about earlier regarding that.
Right. A friend of mine from another state was a victim of a brutal rape. And prior to that rape, she was a healthy woman, no physical conditions. And it was the most stereotypical the most fearful rape that can happen. A man broke into her house in the middle of the night, woke her up in bed.
A stranger.
And after the rape, she developed chronic breathing conditions, chronic bronchitis, and to this day still has that. And so that's, you know, she certainly is someone who would have been eligible for crime victims' reparations to pay for her medical conditions. If she went through lapses of not having medical insurance, or for some reason her medical insurance wouldn't pay for the treatment, then she could use reparation money to pay for that.
And of course, post-traumatic stress has to be part of a lot of people's lives.
That's exactly right. And it's part of the reason for our BASTA event, part of the way to empower folks post-trauma, whether that's the people who were actually survivors of the crime themselves or their loved ones and the community in general, is to have something like a community-wide commemorative event and celebration of survival, of the rights that are here by law, and to give people a chance to empower themselves to come together and break the stigma of being a crime victim.
Is there a great stigma to being a crime victim?
I think the word victim itself still gives people sort of this sense of fingernails raking against the chalkboard, depending on what circles you run in. And it's certainly fallen out of favor.
In favor of survivor.
That's correct. And I'm hesitant to even use the word survivor exclusively because some people have died. Look at Matthew Shepard.
Yeah.
I mean, if people want to come to our walk and walk in honor of a hate crime victim who has died like Matthew Shepard, they can do that as much as they can walk for a friend or family member who has survived.
And I think another way that victims are stigmatized, and in the case of this person I knew, I mean, I couldn't think of one possible reason that she would have, quote, unquote, been asking for it or would have been to blame, would have caused this crime to be perpetrated against her. However, that happens all the time. Domestic violence victims are, you know, asking for it, or they should have not burnt dinner, and that's why they got beaten, or whatever it might be. And so we're trying to show the community that a victim of a violent crime or a victim of any crime didn't cause the crime. No matter what they were doing, they didn't ask for it. They didn't cause the crime to be perpetrated against them.
This is something we've been dealing with for a really long time. I mean, we're perhaps a little bit away from the idea that if you were wearing a short skirt while walking down the street, you deserve whatever you get. But we're not far enough away from that, I suppose.
And part of that is the lack of accountability that many institutions and individuals in communities across the country hold for offenders. A lot of the times there's a lot of enabling that goes on in second chances and softer sentences. There's a lot of shaming of victims that can go on, even within close families and friends, where it can be, you know, give them another chance, or what did you do to make him mad? So it's this combination of victim blaming and lack of accountability for offenders. And that is one of the beauty of National Crime Victims Rights Week and the Victims of Crime Act.
We're talking to the folks from Esperanza Shelter for Battered Families. So let's talk for a moment about the event this week. That is this coming Saturday, the 24th of April, BASTA, which for those of us who do not have Spanish or Italian heritage means stop right now. What is actually going to happen?
The event is got two components. The first component is a march from the Roundhouse to Warehouse 21. The march begins at 12:30. We're asking folks to get there at noon. And we're asking folks to come and decorate a pair of shoes. So come with your shoes decorated to march in honor of a victim or survivor of crime.
Whether it be yourself or somebody else.
Exactly. And then at that point, we'll march to Warehouse. And once we get to Warehouse, there'll be a big festival with speakers, music, food. It's all free. It's open to anyone, regardless of age, regardless if they are a victim of crime or not. We just want it to be a community awareness event.
And so you will have some very beautifully decorated and painted and beaded shoes, no doubt.
Yeah, we're also going to have a contest for most outrageous shoes, as well as most touching and most original, et cetera. And we're going to give out gift certificates to places like On Your Feet and Starbucks, et cetera. So we have a really fun component of the shoe contest as well.
When you have people who are victims of crime, and it's not domestic violence, where obviously you know the person, you live with that person or whatever, but the person who victimized you is a stranger, have you seen situations where the victim meets their victimizer
That's not a situation at Esperanza where we deal with, because we deal exclusively with domestic and dating abuse and stalking from someone that's known. As a therapist, I have worked with people who have been victimized by both strangers and by people that they know. And it really depends on the person. I have known people who have decided to go to the courtroom and face people, and I have known people who have decided not to do that. And sometimes it's not just the problem with facing the offender themselves, but it might be the defense attorney that might be intimidating, or just bringing up the past, or being asked to testify, or, you know, being around law enforcement, whatever it is that sort of brings on that trauma.
I was thinking about it because in preparing to talk to the two of you, I was reading some of the websites about crime victims, and some of them actually get involved in programs of restitution, and that's very interesting but also tricky business.
That's right. It can be, and I think that most people in the domestic violence field are sort of leery of that, and probably recommend more than anything that people are working really closely with a domestic violence specialist or a mental health specialist of some kind to work with it on a case-by-case basis, because there is a really high risk of some re-traumatization by both being around the offender and by being back in the system.
So at Esperanza, it's mostly, I mean, it's called Shelter for Battered Families. It's mostly women, a lot of children as well.
It is. Our shelter sees 98% women and children, 2% men annually, because men are and can be victims of domestic violence. We also have an offender program, and that is predominantly the statistics swap. It's predominantly men with a few female offenders.
We are one of the few shelters in the country that is open to men residentially as victim survivors. And I'm very proud to say that, because there are times when families have to make the very hard choice of, you know, either splitting up so that adolescent male teenager goes somewhere else, or the rest of the family goes to the shelter. And we don't put people in that position, as well as both straight and gay men who experience intimate partner violence.
As well as we're one of the only shelters in the country who allow or have services for transgender folks as well.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Have there been a number of those cases?
I don't know. I know that there was enough of a demand to open the shelter. I think it's pretty rare, but we just want to make sure folks from all walks of life are able to come in for services, regardless of their background.
I think one of the media images of crime victims, at least, I mean, I tend to watch crime shows from time to time on television, and they all want revenge. And I think there's a real difference between what's happening in those kinds of media images and what's happening in reality. What do you guys see on the ground?
I see, again, as a therapist working in a variety of different settings, I do see people maybe having those feelings, but most people don't seem to want to act out on that. First of all, most people don't want to put themselves in the position of doing something against the law for revenge, because who's going to be the first suspect but somebody who might have been victimized by that person? And also, I think most people don't want to do to somebody else what was done to them. There is a tendency for compassion with humans, especially if they get the help that they need.
New Mexico often comes out pretty badly in rankings on things like, as we've heard from the Rape Crisis Center too, domestic violence and rape and so on.
New Mexico has been rated the second most dangerous state in the country for a few years in a row now.
And that, dangerous in terms of?
In terms of murder, rape, burglary, robbery, motor vehicle theft.
Good heavens.
And assault. Yeah. And assault. And we're also pretty high up there when it comes to domestic violence and assault by a known assailant. And so we actually are, it's really important that we're having this event as a community to come together and say basta, to say enough, and to also acknowledge all the great services that we do have. We have, last fiscal year alone, almost $2 million in victims reparations coming out of our New Mexico Crime Victims Reparations Office.
I bet a lot of people don't even know about this.
They don't even know it, and that's part of the reason for the event. We have a DWI drunk driving hotline. If you're driving down the street and you dial *394 on your cell phone, we have an Esperanza domestic violence hotline, a rape crisis center, sexual assault hotline.
*394. I could have used that a few times.
That's right.
I actually have used it a few times.
Yeah, crazy people weaving around in Cerrillos Road. And so just quickly, what are some of the other services that people should know about that Esperanza offers?
We have a legal advocacy program. So folks that aren't clients of Esperanza, if you are or are not, and you're trying to seek an order for protection against your stalker or batterer, you can go to the First Judicial Courthouse downtown, and we have an advocate that will help you fill out paperwork and support you in court. They can't give you legal advice, but they can support you through the process.
Which is funded by VOCA, by the way.
Exactly.
VOCA being?
Victims of Crime Act.
All right. So once again, the event this weekend, Saturday the 24th of April, is BASTA, Walk a Mile in My Shoes. And just for people who are just tuning in, tell us about the details once again.
It's a march and festival. The march will begin at the Roundhouse at 12. We'll begin marching at 12:30. We're asking folks to decorate a pair of shoes in honor of a crime victim, living or past. If you don't want to decorate your shoes, still come out. We'll have little name badges that people can write who they're marching for. We're going to have a contest around that. And then once we get to Warehouse 21, we'll have a big festival with music. The mayor's going to come out and kick off the event. Speakers, free food.
Girl Scout cookies.
Girl Scout cookies. The whole event is free. And it is Earth Day. Right. So we're hoping that if people are out celebrating Earth Day, even if they just want to drop in, if you miss the march, still come for the festival. You can bring your pets to march.
Excellent.
So we just want the community to come out and hopefully learn something and stand up to crime.
Jody Rogers and Carrie Sullivan are with Esperanza Shelter for Battered Families. They're at esperanzashelter.org. The hotline is 505-473-5200. Thanks both for being here.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Good Morning Jazz presents the monthly New Orleans Hour. Broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, we'll see you tomorrow. And tomorrow is the one-day fun drive on KSFR. And tomorrow morning during the Radio Cafe and perhaps a little beyond our normal hours, we will be talking about dogs and cats and trying to determine which is better. See you then.